Because he's my best friend, he's my pal. He's my homeboy, my rotten soldier. He's my sweet cheese, my good time boy.
That's you! Ha-ha! What's up, guys? Hey, what's up? It's DaHuff. It's another episode of DaHuff Uncensored. Hope you're having a great day. Got a lot to get to, but real quick, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Also, don't forget today's show is presented to you by the great people over at Sugar Fire in Westminster, as well as Jad's Mile High Smoke. And of course, our new sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to betonline.ag. Again, that's betonline.ag today. Or use your mobile device to get in on the action. It's BetOnline where the game starts. Before we get into headlines, and we got a lot of headlines today, I'm going to get myself in trouble. And my wife even agrees with this, because sometimes I just say stuff, and then as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. So yesterday, the doorbell rings. I go to the door, and of course, it's a freaking solicitor. I hate solicitors. I appreciate the grind that you put in, but no offense, I fucking hate when you guys come to my door. Okay? That's just me. Okay? So the guy starts trying to sell me on pest control. Now, keep in mind, I do my own pest control, and we've been pretty good about it, as far as we don't have a lot of spiders in the house, and, you know, I'll catch mice in the garage every now and then, stuff like that, okay? But, knock on wood, haven't had any major issues with that stuff. Anyway, he starts going through a sales pitch. Like, he's literally walking and talking, and I'm still at the front door. I'm like, should I just close the door and walk away? I'm like, no, I won't be a dick. So I go outside, and I follow him around and start talking. And I have no interest in buying anything from him, because I can't justify spending stuff like that. Because it ended up being like $150, something like that, for a month. I'm like, no, that's ridiculous. Whatever it was, too much money. Okay? So he's talking to me, and then all of a sudden he stops, and he's like, oh, I feel bad. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm so-and-so. What's your name? And I shake his hand, and I'm like, hi, I'm Scott. And he goes, oh, that's a heck of a handshake you got there, Scott. And I said, well, should be. I'm a chronic masturbator. And the look on his face went from, you know, inviting and just he was smiling and stuff to just no expression and confusion, and he's just like, what? And I was like, oh shit, I should not have said that. And then all of a sudden there's this awkward pause for about, say, 2 to 3 seconds, and then he goes, well, maybe I shouldn't have shook your hand. I'm like, ha 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 ha, fuck. Anyway, then he goes through his whole spiel and blah blah blah. But it made me think. I was like, dude, I'm going to say something to somebody. And my wife agrees with this. You're going to say something to somebody one of these days, and then they're going to try to press charges against you for saying something that you thought was a joke. Maybe not press charges, but just make a big stink about it. Be like, oh, you're masturbating, then touching people's hands. Be like, what? Huh? It is May. May is masturbation month. Okay. I've just tried to spread the word. Spread the good word. And what did we learn this week? Masturbation's good for mental health, good for your immunity, good for your heart health as well. So fuck off. Don't judge me. I just saved a life. That's what probably happened. The guys probably went home and he's like, yeah, he did have a firm handshake. You know what I need to do? I need to work on my mental health. And my immune system has been a little low lately. Anyway, let's forget that all happened. Let's jump into some headlines.
Let's go! Let's go!
And now, here are the headlines.
This is troubling. It's the world we live in. And I'm not really shocked about this recent study that found that more than half of Gen Zers want to be full-time influencers. That's what they want their gig to be. More than half. Now, you might be a Gen Zer listening to this, and you're like, that's stupid. That's definitely not me, and it might not be true. Well, according to this study, it is. And it worries me because, like, what's that mean for our future? You got a bunch of people making dumb videos, and then when, say, TikTok goes away, what do you got? You got nothing. You got no skills. You're gonna pour your skills, quote unquote skills, into making silly videos and making money. You can make a shitload of money too if you're a good influencer and you get in the right way. And next thing you know, you're just getting bank, major bank. And I can't knock you for that. But the thing is like when that social media influencer, you know, pedestal just goes away and you come plummeting back down to reality, what skills do you have? Unless you're an influencer that does a lot of home improvements and stuff like that, farming and stuff that is actually beneficial to society, maybe automotive engineering of some sort, and that's what you're influencing, maybe I think you'll be fine. It's the people that just go out there and do stupid prank videos, or they're doing, no offense, I know several of these people, they're just going out there and evaluating food. That serves no purpose in society. You're going to, if that floor collapses, you got nothing. And to be honest, you know, moving forward, let's say it doesn't collapse and you're out there, we're going to have a society filled with people that are so locked in on themselves and not contributing to jack squat that it is going to be another stage of the downfall of our society. It's really frustrating. I get it. It's kind of like the gold rush and you know, you kind of had that here in Colorado too with the green rush with when marijuana became legal. You had so many people going into that industry. That's kind of what's happening with influencers and like OnlyFans and stuff like that. Eventually, it's going to settle down, but I think in 50 years from now, schools are going to be looking back at this era and going, "That's the influencer era, where everybody and their brother thought that they could be an influencer. Everybody thought that they could have a podcast."
Except for one. One man stood above all the rest. His name was Scott DeHoff. And he did a podcast about dick jokes and fart jokes.
But what I'm saying is, it's disturbing. Because you got a bunch of people that don't want to work. And I get it. There is some work involved being an influencer. But it's not. It's not hard work. It's not being a plumber. It's not being an electrician, doing construction, working at a grocery store, working at a bank, working at a restaurant. It's not, those are actual jobs where you actually fucking work. Okay? Sales. As much as I hate some salespeople, that's hard work. Okay? Being an influencer, that's not hard work. Sorry. You can make serious money, though, and I can't knock you for that. Also, by the way, I'm getting kind of tired of seeing these articles that pop up every now and then, or just, you know, social posts of people that are in, say, like the OnlyFans world, and they're like, oh my God, I'm so creeped out. I found out my dad's watching me on OnlyFans, or it's my stepdad, or my brother, or stepbrother. You're in that industry. You got to assume that anybody's going to stumble upon you, and they can watch. You'd probably be disgusted at who is actually watching you. You're diddling yourself, you know, in your bedroom. And come to find out it's your former teacher or it's your boss, you know, from your actual job. Here's the thing I'll say about influencers. Be an influencer, that's fine. You can make serious cash, but you have to have another job. You have to have a real job and some real skills. Have the influencer thing be your side gig. That's your that's something that is going to contribute to your retirement, but not necessarily what you're going to put all your chips on when it comes to your retirement, okay? Because that's just bonus cash that you should be saving. That's every influencer out there. If you're making serious cash, save the fuck out of it because you just don't know how long that shit's going to last. Listen to me. I sound like such a boomer. I'd be like, back in my day, you worked hard for your money, okay? Whether it was tilling the land or, you know, slinging beers across the bar. Either way, you worked your tail off. None of this social influencer nonsense where you're just shaking your little booty and hoping people give you cash, okay? Back in my day, you worked hard. Whether you're a lady of the evening, and you worked the streets, got a nice little cardio workout before you jerked a guy off in the back alley. Hey, back in my day, shit was different. Nowadays, you guys are soft. You just stay in the comfort of your own living room while you diddle yourself, okay? And then the cash comes rolling in. By the way, is there a market for the boomers and the OnlyFans? Listen, if I had the body to do it, I would do OnlyFans. I just don't see anybody wanting to go, let's see an out-of-shape, hairy guy play with himself. Yeah, I don't think I'll do well. Don't think. But, you know, there'd be somebody watching. Somebody contributing. You're like, I don't know who it is, but they're giving me a lot of money. They keep saying, can you rub some, baby oil in your belly button and just, like, make it splash? Anyway. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. It was weird. This is another thing that goes with influencers. This is kind of funny, though. An influencer basically jumped in on the Brooklyn Marathon. It's a half marathon. She didn't bother to pay for the entry fee. And then afterwards, she was bragging about the pace that she had throughout the whole race. And then all these racers got so pissed off at her. And I think it's kind of funny because if you've ever been around people that take racing, running seriously, or cyclists, we don't need to get into this again, but some of you guys are dicks. Okay. And you take it very seriously. It's your passion. I get it. So when you have somebody come in, that didn't bother to follow the rules, and then they're starting to brag about their results, you're like, fuck you.
I'm going to bite his dick off.
Whoa! Yeah, they get crazy. I tell you what. I think it's kind of funny. But that being said, that's kind of what influencers do. They find an angle that they know that is going to ruffle some feathers, and it's going to generate conversation, and boom, that influencer is going to financially benefit off of that. So in a sense, I kind of applaud that because it's kind of funny. But again, those are things I can't do. I don't have the guts to go over there and just be like, I'm going to jump into this half marathon and then brag about how well I did. I just can't do that. I'm an asshole. Not that big of an asshole. I am an asshole. I'm sorry. I am. What would you do if, let's say, you and a sibling or you and your spouse or significant other, if you're on an airline and they come up to you, the flight crew does, and be like, hey, we have a first class ticket. Would either of you guys like to upgrade to first class on us? If none of you have ever been in first class, you know, you would just do rock, paper, scissors, right? Something like that. I told my wife, because I brought this up to her last night, I said, what would you do? And she said, I'd let you do it. I was like, well, I would be the gentleman, and I'd say you could do it because you've never sat in first class. and neither have I. And I would just do the next one. She's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense. And the reason I bring this up is somebody on Reddit said, I accepted a first class upgrade and left my brother behind, and now my family is shunning me. Maybe it was because you did this as soon as you got in the first class.
I'm rich, bitch!
I don't know. Apparently it rubbed people the wrong way. My thing is fuck them. They're just being whiny bitches. If neither of you have done it, have been in first class, so one of you had to do it. Come on. Opportunity. Life's about opportunities. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Scott, do you want to go to first class and leave your children behind? I'm like, fuck yeah. Fuck these little bastards. Just joking. No, I wouldn't do it in that sense. I would let my wife go up there and I would take care of the kids because I'm that great of a guy. But I don't see what the big deal is. That's just people being whiny bitches. Now, that being said, if she had a first class experience before and her brother never did, then that's on her. That's her being a selfish bitch. Then she should have given it to her brother, and her brother, you know, could have experienced it for the first time. Otherwise, it's just like, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. People just like to complain. And it's a good opportunity. Like I said, life's full of opportunities. You don't want to pass it up. You don't know if you're ever going to get a chance to ride in first class. I've never done it. I want to do it so bad. So bad. I want like champagne and lobster. I don't know what you guys get in first class.
I like some champagne, please. And some chocolate strawberries, please.
Sir, why are you talking like that?
I don't know. I'm in first class.
Do you ever read an article and you're like, dude, come on. Who the fuck wrote this? The New York Post is giving too much credit here to this daughter, this granddaughter. And in the article, the very first line is, a savvy granddaughter saved her grandma from divulging sensitive information to a scammer posing online as Robert De Niro. I get it. Was she really savvy, or she's just a normal person that understands logic? Because no offense to the grandma, she shouldn't be online. She shouldn't be. If you think that Robert De Niro is messaging you on Facebook, you shouldn't be allowed on social media, okay? You just shouldn't. Because clearly, he's not. He is not on social media trying to get your credit card information, bank accounts. That's what was happening. And the granddaughter's like, dude, grandma, you dumb fuck. That's not Robert De Niro. I'm paraphrasing. I'm just pulling out random quotes. Grandma, you dumb bitch. That's not Robert De Niro. It's not. Did he ask you this?
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Well, technically, yes, we could milk your nipples, Robert De Niro. It worries me sometimes, though, with the scammers out there, because they are getting more and more creative. This one seems pretty fucking obvious, though. But if you're old and oblivious to the world and the wrongdoings of some people, you're like, why do you think it's not Robert De Niro? He's so nice. All he needs is some money for a new suit. So I'm going to send it to him. Oh, Grandma, you're so dumb. You crazy old hag. I shouldn't say that. That's mean. But I did. I'm not going to retract it. There's been times where I've had to talk to my parents about that. And, you know, just assume if you get an email, a message, anything, you don't click on it. You don't click on links. You don't click on attachments if you don't know who it's from. And just delete it. And if something sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. People are just out there constantly trying to scam you. And it's frustrating. Here's the thing. Here's what I've always thought. Like, if somebody like calls me up, like I'm bagging on Dwayne Johnson yesterday, but if like Dwayne Johnson somehow got a hold of my phone number and he called me and says, DeHuff, I really want you in my next movie for whatever fucking reason, so he could punch me in the face illegally. But if he did that, I wouldn't believe it's him for one fucking second. It could be anybody. It could be the president of the United States. Wouldn't believe it. Until they're right in front of me, then I would believe it. It's like when you get those phone calls from, like, this is the IRS. You are in a lot of trouble. And we're like, oh, my God. You guys suck so bad. Just assume everything's a scam. And it sucks to be that way because you could miss out on opportunities. But, like, you get an email. Maybe it's because going through all those corporate online courses that you had to do, like, every quarter or whatever it was that we used to do those. And be like, and you're talking about online scams and what to click on, what not to click on. And I remember going through those at the radio station, and it's just like, oh, how. But that being said, there's times where they get super sneaky and they make it look like it's from somebody of importance, but it's actually them. And that's what sucks. But it almost tells me that, like, there's got to be a certain age where certain individuals shouldn't be allowed to be online because they're just going to get scammed. And these dickheads that like to scam people instead of getting a real job, they're on the same line as influencers in a way. They don't have a real job. They just like to, you know, take money from people. You know, those dickheads exist, and it screws over all the people that are barely understanding the internet. So it's an interesting thing, but I feel bad in a way for this old lady. She's probably getting her rocks off talking to freaking Robert De Niro. She's like, oh my God, it's Robert De Niro. He was so sexy. And I don't even know. I can't even think of a movie with him in it. What's that one where he was a boxer? That one. There you go. Oh, forgive me. I'm a movie buff that doesn't know any of the movie names. He was in Robert De Niro. He was in that one movie, you know, where he like punched people and, you know, took control and stuff. Yeah, what? Huh? Yeah, you know what I mean. Hey, and speaking of that, what was that one guy that was like, you talking to me? That guy was in a movie with him too. Oh, what is his name? Oh, yeah, I can't think of it. But they were in that one movie. Can't think of it either. That's me when I start talking about movies and people are like, what movie was that? And I'm like, ah, fuck if I know. I don't even know what my brain's used for anymore. Just breathing and eating. Speaking of eating, Sugar Fire in Westminster, amazing place to go grab some barbecue. They're off 144th and Orchard Parkway, right next to Snooze. You got to follow them on social media at Sugar Fire Westie on Instagram and Facebook. And they always do a good job with posting their daily specials. And it's just so good, whether it's brisket, whether it's burgers. Their burgers are amazing. Let's see, they got, you know, smoked wings, they got ribs, so many great entrees, plus they got amazing sides, whether it's brisket chili, Brussels sprouts and sweet chili, hash brown casserole, smash loaded potatoes, brisket mac and cheese, which is so freaking good, and so on and so on. It's all amazing food. They got great sauces on the side, St. Louis sweet, Texas hot, coffee, Carolina mustard, and white barbecue. Sugar Fire in Westminster, by far my favorite barbecue joint in the state of Colorado. It's family friendly. It's perfect for date night. They do catering. Maybe you got a big event, whether it's at the office or maybe you got a birthday or a wedding that needs catered. That's where you need to ring up Sugar Fire in Westminster, because they can save the day and handle all the catering for you. Go ahead and check them out in Westminster off 144th and Orchard Parkway, just east of Huron. Follow them on social media, like I said, Facebook and Instagram, at Sugar Fire Westie, or you can see them online, sugarfiresmokehouse.com. It's Sugar Fire in Westminster, reinventing barbecue every single day. Now that I got you all hungry, talking about amazing barbecue, let's talk about an amazing place to grab some cannabis. It's Jad's Mile High Smoke. It's the first and only licensed cannabis in the state of Colorado. It's like an alcohol bar, but for cannabis. It's really cool. You can go in there. You can buy up to, an ounce of flower or 8 grams of concentrate. You can consume on-site what you like and then take the rest home. They have something for everyone, I should say. Wide selection of flower, pre-rolls, concentrate, and edibles. They provide everything you need to consume it with, too, which is very cool. They're a full-service bar, and the staff is fantastic. They got 7 big-screen TVs. Maybe you want to catch your favorite sporting event, or you could even host a watch party. Whatever it is, you're going to have a good time over at Jad's Mile High Smoke. You can even play some Nintendo Switch. You can rent those. Tons of free board games, playing cards, coloring books, dominoes. And they even got a quarter arcade with pinball machines, vintage Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and more. You got to come by and check out Jad's Mile High Smoke. They're open daily from noon to 10. Happy hour runs from noon to 4:20, Monday through Friday. Thursdays is Ladies' Day, and ladies get 20% off all day. How cool is that? In fact, that's all day. That's so cool. Come take advantage of the warming weather as well. They got a full-service patio, or you can just hang out inside and chill on their couches, beanbags, and pillows. Jad's Mile High Smoke is just 9 minutes from Coors Field and open noon to 10. You got to be 21 or older to consume. No outside product. Just buy it there. Jad's is at 7667 Washington Street. Just GPS to Jad's. This is kind of sad, and we've talked about this guy before, because I want to say like a year or two ago, this guy made some headlines because he tried to take his emotional support alligator, Wally, to a Philadelphia Phillies game, and they denied him entry because they said it was a dangerous animal, which I get. It's a fucking alligator. But that being said, he's Wally, the alligator, is known to be very, very gentle and doesn't ever bite anybody. Anyway, it's gone missing. The alligator's gone missing. What the fuck? Who stole the gator? Who stole it? My God. What kind of dick steals an animal support, or a support animal, emotional support animal? Sorry. So apparently Wally vanished while accompanying the man on a vacation this last month in Brunswick, Georgia. And he said he suspects someone stole Wally from the fenced outdoor enclosure where Wally spent the night on April 21st. That's just fucked up. I hope he finds it, because the more you read about this guy, whether you're like me and like kind of judge the idea that it's an alligator, and alligators are just, you know, it's in their DNA to eat things. It got this guy out of depression, and people love it, and it makes them happy. And it's really sad that it's gone missing. So if you know where Wally is, you gotta track it down and tell authorities. But what he suspects is that somebody took the alligator and released it into the wild where it's not used to being. So sadly enough, I wouldn't doubt if this gator never gets returned. Or you think you get the right one and they're like, "Oh, Wally, you look a little different. Come here, give daddy a hug." Rock! Oh, shit, that's the wrong one. It's the wrong one. That's not Wally. Southwest Airlines CEO Bob Jordan said Thursday that the airline is considering changing the boarding and seating process on its planes in order to improve its financial position. Which kind of sucks, because I hope it sounds like what they're going to do is they're going to probably do like a first class situation, kind of like we were just talking about that with that lady snagging a first class seat over her brother. But it sounds like that's what they're considering, is kind of, you know, upgrading the first part of the plane so you get the first class passengers, and then they can charge a little more for that. And then possibly have assigned seating, you know, whatever. The thing is I understand Southwest is hurting a little bit financially. Part of that is the whole Boeing crap, where this last quarter there's been a lot of bad news around the Boeing airlines. I believe another whistleblower got whacked off. Not whacked off. They jacked him off. I mean, whacked. I don't know why. I guess I just got whacking off on my mind. Sorry. Anyway, I got to do more research on that one. I saw that headline right as I was about to hit record. So if that's the case, that's sad. But that's another, you know, Boeing thing. But there's a lot of just bad vibes, bad news around Boeing. And a lot of people are hesitant to fly, and that can contribute to their decline in sales. And hopefully Southwest doesn't change too much, because they do got a good gig going on. I'd rather fly Southwest than Frontier. Frontier, I just can't stand. It's really cheap, but Frontier, oh my God, the seats are horribly uncomfortable. And it seems like anytime I've ever had to fly Frontier, they're delayed by like an hour. Seems like they're just such a rinky-dink operation and just half-assed. That's an airline that kind of scares the shit out of me. But hopefully Southwest doesn't go around dicking with too much, because, I think overall they got a good product. I like the select the seats, because you get in there and you can just sit wherever the fuck you want. And that's where, like, you get boarding A or B. I mean, there's a good chance you'll sit by yourself, which I love. I hate sitting next to people on planes. But anyway, it's something to watch to see what they do. And hopefully they don't fuck with shit too much. Let's jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag. You've got mail.
This comes in from Matt OFP. He said, will the fast food industry self-correct with the cost soaring and quality of food/service tanking, or will we see the end of that business model in our lifetime? He continues with, McDonald's investment in automation hasn't made anything cheaper for the consumer, and the food quality is worse now. I don't see it getting better anytime soon. Hopefully I'm wrong, but you know, with everybody bitching and complaining about employees needing to get paid more, and also talking about that there's a lot of shitty employees out there. We were just talking about the social influencers. Most people just, they don't want to fucking work. And that's what happens. That's why you got shitty service. You got shitty managers. Companies really need to invest in training managers and making sure managers know how to fucking manage. That's not just the food industry. That's every industry where there's people that are in charge and they have no fucking clue how to manage people. They might be able to manage numbers, but you got to be able to manage your crew. And I just don't see it happening right now until somebody in some of these big corporations takes a step back and actually visits their product. go to a store that doesn't know who you are and see what is good and see what is bad. Talk to the people, the real people that are actually buying your product, and ask them, what's going on? What do you like? What don't you like? That's what needs to fucking happen with all these big corporations. You got these corporate bigwigs that are making bank, making decisions. But how often, some of them do, but how often do they go down to the ground level where the heart is, where the blood flow of the company is? How often do they go down there and see what's going on and see the perspective from the customer? Oh, shit. Prices are kind of crazy. Would you pay for that? Would you, you know, you think about that. That's where, okay, people like that are in charge of McDonald's, figure out how, what the, in a certain community, what's the average income for a family? Okay. And then kind of do a budget. What would make sense for them to consistently go to McDonald's once or twice a week? How could they justify it on the prices? You start looking at the prices on your menu board and be like, well, it's kind of expensive. If the average family has four people in there and they're only making, say, $60,000 a year, you start breaking it down and it's just like, it doesn't make sense with food costs rising. And then if you go in there and you get shit service, well, I'm definitely not coming back. And by the way, real quick, if you work at a restaurant or you're in any sort of customer service and you're a dick to people, then keep in mind, I was one of these people that I'm talking about. You're a dick to the customers because you're sick and tired of your job, but you just want to make your paycheck. Well, guess what? You don't get a paycheck if you don't have people coming in the doors, and especially if they don't want to come back. So once you get to that mindset of going, shit, I need to be nicer to people and I need to make their experience better, and that's going to end up putting more money in my pocket eventually. You got to get past this whole bullshit. And that's where you got to have a better management, people that are better at training and supervising, and people that have the right mindset. I don't see the food quality getting any better. I don't see the service getting any better anytime soon, because we got a bunch of, we're just going through a real rough part of people that don't want to fucking work. And it's not just the food industry. It's just about every industry out there. And that sucks. So it screws over everybody. So there are some people out there that bust their ass and do great in the restaurant industry, because you see those people stand out. You're like, God, man, it's so funny that he or she was so friendly and, you know, had a smile on their face. Yeah, that makes me want to come back. But if you have somebody that's grumpy, that have you ever done this? You order something, you go through the drive-thru, they don't even say hi. They just, like, they're holding the bag out for you. And then that's it. I fucking can't stand that. Makes me never want to go back to whatever location that is. And part of that is management's not holding people accountable. I remember when I worked at Safeway, we were always concerned that we had secret shoppers coming in, because we would. You would get people that were paid by the company to go in there and evaluate everybody secretly. Nobody knew who it was. Nobody. So you would always try to be on your A game. And if somebody was asking a lot of questions, you'd be like, I wonder if this is a secret shopper. And you would do better at the customer service. Be like, oh, well, let me go show you, ma'am. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the, you know, condoms. here's the KY jelly type of stuff. And so that's one of those things where it's kind of, you know, they kind of went away from that. A lot of places are where there's no sense of urgency, no sense of, you know, let's really try to make the customer happy. There's some places that do it, but there's a lot that it just seems like it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Food quality is suffering because, you know, people, there's a part of that is you got people just companies trying to save as much money as possible because they're trying to pay their employees more. You also got, you know, a bunch of morons at times running restaurants that, you know, they don't know how to maintain a good product. And that's frustrating and concerning. This comes in from John. He said, who's going to be the Broncos starting quarterback in game one? Well, I mean, you got Zach Wilson or Bo Nix, and I'm going to go out on a limb. Based off of what I've heard from Sean Payton and everybody, I'm going to say Bo Nix. I say Bo Nix will be the starting quarterback game one. I know that's a little bit of a stretch because he hasn't played one freaking down in the NFL. But I, everything I've heard is he's so intelligent and he just understands everything that's going on. And he's got talent. No offense to Zach Wilson. I think Bo Nix is the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos come game one. And I hope that's, I hope. Broncos country should hope that that's the case. Because if he's coming into training camp and he's shining that bright, that's a good sign. It's a really good sign. Because if he's outplaying Zach Wilson, a former number two overall pick, that's great news. Great news for this franchise if Bo Nix can start. It won't be the end of the world if he doesn't and Zach Wilson does start. But I'm going to go ahead and say Bo Nix will be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos come game one. You tell me, what do you guys think? TheHuffUncensored@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on my socials at TheHuffPodcast. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for joining the show. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. I wanted to play something and I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. Gosh dang it. Hold on, let's play this.
Play with yourself. It'll be good. Everyone, whack away.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up.
It pisses me off.
Right, as always.
Anyway, you guys have an amazing day. Big thanks to Sugar Fire in Westminster, as well as Jad's Mile High Smoke, and of course, Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag. It's the Huff Uncensored. You guys have a great day. Let's continue to move forward. Sorry, my brain just really just all of a sudden stalled out. It was like, you know, you're driving. You ever been driving like a stick shift and you just forget to shift? You're just stuck in neutral? That's what happened. Anyway, let's continue to move forward. I'll talk to you next time.